Welcome back to Tuned In with Radio Laurier. My name is Keegan Gingrich, and today we are speaking with Andy Colonico from Revive the Rose, a band based out of Welland, Ontario. Andy has been a constant innovator in the Ontario music scene for over 6 years, and has recently even created his own record label called Snare Guy Records. Today we talk about authenticity, appreciation, and being passionate about what you do every single day. All right, Andy, thanks so much for doing this. Nice to see you again. I know we talked a couple of days ago, but nice to finally get an in-person, as much as you can consider it, that chat.
Likewise, man. Nice to chat.
Let's start off with a few rapid-fire questions. So these are no pressure at all. First thing that comes to your mind, first answer. There's no right or wrong answer unless you get the first one wrong. Then we're going to have some problems, but we'll see. All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Foo Fighters or Nirvana?
Foo Fighters.
Nice. Coffee versus tea?
Coffee.
Nice. Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Burgers.
Nice. And the best beer in Canada?
Oh, geez. You know what? I don't even care. OV. What's up?
OV. Repping the hometown, eh?
Yeah. It's just chill. It's not bad. It's not terrible. Just in the middle.
It's kind of like a better Molson Canadian, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. Oh, Molson's hit or miss for me. But yeah, I agree.
Depends on the day, right?
It is made by Molson, so.
Oh, I didn't know that, really?
Yep.
Oh, the more you know. This one's a little bit more hard-hitting, but if you can think of something, what's the best piece of advice that, like, it can be industry-related, it can be, you know, personally. What's, like, I guess your mantra, like, words you live by? What's something that you, like, think about every day?
Wake up every day and don't be a dick. That's my advice.
It is kind of a good thing to live by.
Yeah, man. I live by, you know, don't be a dick and work for what you want to do and what you love to do. I guess that would be the extended version of it.
Man, and you know all about that too. Like, you guys have a song called 9 to 5, which kind of talks about, you know, the day-to-day grind and all that. And then doing what you love too is a byproduct of that, right? How is that something that you're like, you kind of embrace?
Yeah, man. Like, it's just like, to me, there's no other like option. Like, you know, like why would I do something that I don't want to do? Like, why would I settle for less in life? You know, like, you know, I my whole life is based off of like breaking the safety net. I've always just like admired, you know, musicians and how hard they work. And it's like, you know, why are we brought into an education system that kind of fears away from that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, man. I can't settle for that. Like, I'm always a guy that's like, you know, hold my beer. Like, I'll do it. You
know Let me mean? Do the like, thing. Yeah.
And obviously it requires some sort of talent in this industry, but like, I wouldn't say I'm the best singer either though, but you know, I just love doing it. And our chemistry just happens to work, like, as a band, where it's like it translates well to the people.
Yeah.
But
no, but I think passion's everything. Like, especially with music, I think that's art in general. It's such a thing where you have to, if you're not passionate about it, like if you're just doing it for, I don't know, I won't say that a lot of people do like music or anything necessarily for the money, but like if you're not doing it for the right reasons, it kind of falls flat, doesn't it?
Dude, straight up, if you're doing it for the money, like, stop. Just don't even do it. Like, it takes a lot of hard work, man. You got to pay so many dues in the industry, man. Like, there's a big queue line in front of you, man. And you kind of got to leapfrog past them, man, in order to, like, really get in the right spots. You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
Thankfully, I went to business school and I learned how to, like, target market and shit like that, man. Like, I took that. I met a really good teacher there that helped me realize what assets I contained as a human being and structure that properly with what I love to do. You know, and that made it work, you know. And I don't even treat, like, I feel like a lot of people in the music business, man, they always like blame the music business. Like, oh, it's so,
sure,
so difficult to, like, you know, move far in it. It's like, nah, man, you're your own worst enemy. You gotta just do it. Like, you gotta go hit them hard. That's what you gotta do. You can't give up on it. Like, they don't give a shit. They gotta, like, you know, they got like Nickelback to deal with. They got, like, you know what I mean?
Well, man, that's just it. Like, you're the person, or I think you're the perfect person to talk about it too. Cause like, even over the past year and a bit, like obviously with RTR Revive the Rose, you guys have done so much, but you've also gone and like started your own record company, man. Like that's insane. Snare Guy Records. Like tell me about how that came about. Cause I remember speaking to you when that was kind of still, you know, like a work in progress, but like what made you want to do that? What's the mantra behind that?
Dude, you know what? Thank you, by the way. But yeah, the main reason for Snare Guy, man, is because like, yeah, Revive the Rose was just breaking so many barriers in this music industry, like by ourselves. Yeah. Like, we didn't have no label support, man. Like, you know, never had a booking agent. Like it's like we have a manager now, but like, and that's really helped with like when it comes to like, you know, the business side of things and helping me kind of game plan things that maybe I oversee, you know what I mean? And but besides that, man, like we've done it all on our own, and no one's like, you know, really helped me. Like, it, you know, I've had help in the sense of like, yeah, you know, you can play your local venue. Yeah. We'll throw you on this bill. You know what I mean? But like, sure. Besides that, man, when it came to like radio play, like playing out of town, opening for big bands out of town, you know what I mean? Like every opportunity besides, you know, playing your local venue, like we've done it all. And
yeah,
no one's really helped me, man. Like, I've gotten lots of advice, thank God, like later on from other bands that have succeeded, such as like Crownlands, like Cleopatra, those guys, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They let me phone call them once in a while, which is great. But other than that, man, like we're on our own. And there's a lot of talent out there, man, that I've noticed that it makes me shiver to see like, damn, like they're only giving up because they just don't know what to do when it comes to that side, you know. And I do know what to do, you know. I've worked my ass off to know that. And I'm not going to, if I see a good band or a good artist, man, I'm not going to let them stop just because they're clueless as to how to make a simple 12-month game plan, you know,
for instance,
you know, and I'm going to help them do that, man. I'm going to help them figure out what circles they need to be a part of. And I'm going to help them figure out what's the best way to get themselves out there and how to, you know, keep their roots, but also market that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's been great, man. Like I've built such a great family around it, like of just talented and awesome down to earth people. Like it's great. And I love just making shit happening and like seeing it all grow a community. You know, if no label's going to sign me, I'm just going to create my own community. I'm going to create my own family and we're going to take the fuck over. Like that's what's going to happen. Like there's no other option.
Yeah. No, it's great too. Like when you're seeking it out and you're looking to find it, like there is so much out there that people talk all the time about, you know, supporting your local music scene and all that, but sometimes it kind of feels like a little superficial almost, you know what I mean? Like it's like saying it for the sake of saying it, but like when you're going out like yourself and actually doing it, like the one artist you have signed, is it Conan?
Conan Doyle.
I can't think of his, Doyle. There we go. And like he's amazing, but like that's kind of breaking a genre away from you too. Like the nice thing is that you don't really care about the genre part. It's just, hey, this is good music. I'm gonna put this artist out there.
Well, dude, yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, he's very talented. He's just straight up, dude. His lyrics are fantastic. And he just says real shit, man. And like, you know, I love 90s like hip hop rap, you know what I mean? Like it's just what it is, like they spoke more real. And then it's like all of a sudden, like as the years went on, I feel like now they're just like slurring and mumbling stuff. And then all of a sudden I stumbled across an Instagram ad with Conan Doyle and he just said like the most true shit in like 30 seconds. And I was like, dope, this is sweet. And like great voice, great tone, you know, great flow.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not even like the genre matters at that point. Like if it just sounds good, man, it's good.
It sounds good. Yeah.
We're just going to put it out there. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's huge, like for you guys. And this is something that I think, like myself, you and Mike, and then Alex, obviously my lead singer, that we've talked about a bit is authenticity, right? Like not, and I think we had a long conversation about this one night, like people go out there and they're very fake and they try and use people like in the scene to get farther. But I mean, with you guys, even with us, right? Like we've seen a lot that you guys are more than willing to just help for the sake of like helping and being good people, right? You know, and it's no, but it goes a long way. Sorry, I lost my voice. It goes a long way though, right? And so like what does authenticity mean to you, especially in music? Like
I just like you know, like there's no point. Like, obviously there's like a friendly competition, but that's with everything in life. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Even people that work at sales firms, you know, they're going to try to one up each other. It's all in good fun though. You know what I mean? Well, or you can be a dick about it. And then that just doesn't do you any good at all. But, you know, we're all trying to do our best, you know, and the best we can do, you know, instead of shutting each other down, the best is just simply going like, hey man, you could probably do this a little better. You know what I mean? And like, hey, maybe take a little more time next time and then put a good product out. You know what I mean? Like just simple shit like that, man. There's no reason to be like, like screw these guys. Like, you guys are shit. Like, there's no reason to be like that. Like, you want to, even if you know, if you're not a fan of like something they do, just kind of speak your voice and they take it how they do it. And I use, you know, constructive criticism and feedback as fuel, man. And I appreciate it. And it helps me grow my perspective a little more. And that's how I evolve RTR every time.
Yeah. And I mean, good karma too, right? Like, if you're going out and doing that stuff for other people, like, who's to know the next time that, you know, you're going out looking for advice that, you know, someone might give it right back to you. Right. So
yeah,
I imagine that's something you think about.
The big thing I learned in this business, man, is that you don't really exactly treat it like business. Like, you know, if I'm good at making a lot of friends, I'm just going to treat my networks that way. I'm going to make a lot of friends. I love meeting new people. Like, I get stoked just to like meet people like you guys. Like, I just love the fact that like I can call you guys friends, you know what I mean?
And
like,
yeah,
we just happen to play music, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't really view it as you know, business. I just view it as like, they're dope, you know? And I'm very thankful that the music community has made me have a great life. Like, you know, like I have all these awesome people surrounding my life, and like, I wouldn't have known them if I just didn't play music.
Right. Actually, funny enough, right behind me, it's hidden behind my lamp here, but I'm just going to pull it out. I got the Sedge Honesty Revive the Rose, Baby Labor and No Service show we played at Harmony Lunch when it was still open, because obviously now being closed. But like, and it's little things like that where we were like, oh, like these guys are huge. I remember we were just sitting in the basement, like practicing the one day. We're like, these guys are from Welland. They just did this thing. And they like with the Ice Dogs, they did, I think you had just done the music video. I think it was for Bar Down, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And like, we were just like off our ass, like so excited. Like, you know, we're just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And you guys rolled in with like your big amps and everything. And we're all just insane. But like, it's such small little things that like, for some people might not even mean like, you know, a big deal. We're just a bunch of kids. We're just like, you know, like, going on. But, and so that kind of leads me to, like a little bit of backtracking almost. Like, take me through the history of what RTR is. Cause you guys have a like 6-7 year history now, something like that. Right.
You know what? Yeah. 2014, 6 years, man.
Yeah.
So dude, it's been through a lot. It feels like a new band every year though, man. Like, I love it. Like, it always just evolves in the best way possible. But I'd say like 3 years ago was like the official new Revive the Rose. But like, obviously, man, like we started in 2014. We had no idea what we were doing, man. We were just like having fun playing whatever we could get. You know what I mean? And like, we were just, you know, I met Pete in high school, but we never really like hung out a lot. Right. Like, then we jammed once in high school, and then I waited a year, because I was in a band before that called Cops on Commission. So I was like really like full tilt on that, but just never seemed to really work how I wanted it to.
Yeah.
Then our guitar player left to go to animation school, and he was actually highly successful. He ended up doing stuff for like Captain Underpants, Nickelodeon, Disney, a bunch of shit. Anyway, so that band ended, and I had these other songs I started making that weren't really punk rock, like, well, what I thought was punk rock at the time. But and so I invited Pete and my old bass player Steve to come over again, and we jammed these new songs. And at that time I was attending Mohawk College for music.
Okay, school. Nice. That's where I met
Matt.
Okay.
And nice. It turns out he was from Niagara too. So, and I told him, well, we were kind of looking for like a lead guitar player. They ended up both being lead guitar players. And so he came and jammed, and he joined, and then we just kept the brotherhood strong. We always hang out, like, you know, we're always jamming, like, and one thing led to another, man. I always like had faith in good bands such as like the Glorious Sons. Like they first won Rock Search, like
they're a year amazing before, yeah, that.
And so they were doing their first big tour, the White Noise tour, and that was like our second show. We opened up for the Glorious Sons.
That's insane.
And like just little shit like that, man. We just kept resume building. Before you know, we opened for Danko Jones, and then like just, man, it's very important to realize like what you've done and how to evolve from it. And even like,
yeah,
the Ice Dogs, cool, that was huge at the time.
That was awesome. Yeah,
that broke us very locally, but then I'm like, let's do it better now. And then we got the Leafs to play us.
Yeah, and then, well, the Leafs are, you're on their warm-up playlist now, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, as of right now, I'm not too sure. Like we were though for like a year, so
it's crazy.
And then we were playing at every home game, so it was huge, man. And you know, now yeah, we've actually, you know, evolved beyond that, but I can't really say much about that, but yeah. I will leave it at that. But yeah, like just going to say, you know, you take an opportunity, man, you look at it, you do it, and then you go like, how can I do it better than that? And just for your own goals, man, you know what I mean? And that's how our chair kind of just evolved over the years, man. We just kind of like always said like, oh, these songs aren't good. Like they're good, but they're not good enough. Let's make a better one, you know what I mean?
And in on that note, man, you guys have played with some like amazingly like famous people. I think I was like, you just mentioned the Glorious Sons and Danko Jones, like live in Bush. I think last summer you guys played with them, like Honeymoon Suite, all these names that like, every time I see something appear, I'm like, these guys are just like killing it. Right. what's that like, man? Like you're literally playing shows with people who like you grew up on this music. And now you're out there playing shows with them. Like it's, you know, just the craziest thing ever. What's that like?
Dude, it's trips, man. Like, and you know what, when you meet them, man, they're just dudes too. Like they just made it, you know what I mean? But they all started from the same place and the same heart, you know what I mean? And it's really cool to see that. But like, it's just mind blowing that I like someone I've rocked on my, like, you know, music library for years and like was heavily inspired by. And now all of a sudden I get to like play with them. And most recently, like working with John Angus from The Trues on our new material. That
right.
was nuts. Like, dude, I look up to The Trues, man. Like they're like, if it's not the Foo Fighters, it's that band. That's my favorite band. And now I'm like, now we're all like best friends with that band. Like I got like, I text them, like it's just chill shit. Like,
yeah.
And even what was really cool was like, we had called like on the last day of studio, we were mixing everything and The Trues just had band practice in Hamilton. And so John Angus came by after with Colin from The Trues, the singer, and Jack, the bass player. And they just sat there and like listened to like what we've done. And like Colin's like turned around. He's like, who's singing this? And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm singing this. And he's like, dude, you sound freaking awesome, man. And he's like, you guys should be proud of this shit. And like, just hearing that, man, because Colin's a huge vocal inspiration for me, man. So like, the fact that like he said that to me, like I didn't even know how to process. Like my brain flew out of my asshole. Like I didn't know what to say. Like it was amazing. And
yeah, man. Just,
like homies now, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's one thing to meet your heroes. It's another thing for them to be like, hey, your stuff's good, and you just. out of body moment, right?
Yeah, dude, I never in my life would have thought like my first Trues concert was 2011, yeah, so 9 years later I'd be getting my tunes produced by them. Like crazy.
It's crazy how the world works, man. Sometimes you just like, you got to take a step back and go, whoa.
Yeah, right? Man. And then, like Honeymoon Suite, even, yeah, we played with them once and then we got offered like three other shows with them after, like just over the course of time. It's like just became super like chillant, but it's like, yo, these guys are a big band. Like,
yeah,
like when you sit back like that, you're like, yo, this is nuts.
they've actually done some crazy stuff, right? Oh, they, I know, it's just insane. It's just insane. And like, so with that, like, take me back to, I think this is the funniest thing in the world that this is your first EP's title, and it's always just made me laugh so much. Your first EP was called Potato.
Yeah.
And I think that's the greatest thing ever. Like some of the songs on there are great, and you guys have actually redone, I think, two of them since then, Gold Digger and Welland's Finest.
Yeah, we redid those two. I don't even know why we did, but we did.
Yeah. What was it like doing that? And also I'd like to know about Potato. Like what how did that name come into play?
Yeah, like we always refer, like, at that time, we were going through a lot of like our own independence, like of adulting. Like, you know, I was living in college, same with Matt, and Potato just really described the era at the time. And because like our friend group, like, I had absolutely no freaking idea, like, what the hell was going on. No one knew, like, you know, I was working Pizza Hut in college. Yeah. And they had a music school. Like, what the fuck am I doing with that? Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And then, like, you know, I had a bunch of other buddies working, like, just shitty part-time jobs. And, like, you know, somewhere in 12B, you know, grade 12B. And, like, it was and then we turned 19, you know, we're just hitting the bars. Like, no one knew what was really going on. Like, we would meet like a lot of people. Like, I remember I met this dude that blew all his OSAP on like drugs, crazy shit. And I'm like, and they just become stupid and like potatoes, like lazy. Like, no one knew. Like, it was just like, instead of calling something null, we would just be like, oh, like, they're just burnt like a potato. Like, there's, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And it just described that era, like the early fan base of RTR. We would just play these awesome shows and come party. And like, it just made sense, man, to call it potato. Like, it, and at the time, it's so youthful looking back. But like, when I look at, like, I got it on my wall there. But when I look back, man, like, I'm so glad we named it that, man, because that just describes that era so well.
Yeah, it's just fun.
It was a huge transition of my life.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. And like, ultimately, like, you want, you know, it's a youthful little album. You guys just going out and doing your thing. And like you said, it's almost like a kind of like a coming of age type thing. Like, hey, you know, we've finally hit this point. Let's just go have some fun with it. Right. Also, I love the watermelon mug.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah, it was for me and my girlfriend. We were sipping on Malibu and Sunny D. So when we went camping. But it also, man, it's such a massive water bottle. Like,
right?
It's great. Like, I never have to refill it.
That's amazing. I just bought like a 2-liter one for work every day.
And unreal.
That in itself is just crazy. I'm walking around with like a jug of water, just sipping it like it's nothing. And I'm getting some looks and I'm like, ah, well, you know, it is what it is.
Water's the best, man.
Yeah, of course. So Bad Blood, that song, dude, like, that is one of the greatest intros I've ever heard in my life. And I've said it before and like, I'll say it again. Like, it really is just a really good tune. And just that riff is amazing. That song like took off for you guys, you know, like, even on Spotify, you've got like 150,000, I think, listens on that song alone. To like, walk me through that song and kind of the response you got for it.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Yeah, it's so it's funny. That's a Cops on Commission song from I wrote that in grade 12, that song.
Wow. Okay.
Our old bass player, Jake, who was in Cops on Commission with me, we wrote that song together. And we put it out. Like, there's a demo of it on YouTube if you look it up. Bad Blood by Cops on Commission. It's on there.
Wow. Okay.
But it just never really, like, I, when we put it out, the band ended. And I remember, you know, I found Pete and Matt going back to it and jamming it. And they're like, dude, this is such a good song. I'm like, well, I mean, why don't we just do it? Like, it's my song still. Like, you know what I mean? So we just re-recorded it and did it a little more zestier. And then before you knew it, it was like the best Revive the Rose song ever happened, like, so far statistically. Europe loved it, man. Like, Germany was just eating the fuck out of it. I don't know what happened there. And then it was crazy, man. Like, we got added into like this huge Spotify playlist that had like 222,000 followers. And then like, it did so well off that one that they added it into like an even bigger one after that. Like, and it was just crazy, man. Like, it really opened us up. Like, we got fans from like Dubai and shit. Like, it was weird, man.
Yeah. And after that, you guys played on like CTV. Was it CTV or was it CBC in the morning? Global. Okay. And what's that like, man? Getting like, hey, yeah, we're going to go on this performance in the, like, on the morning news. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts, dude. And we've been there twice now. They're so nice to us there at Global News. And, it's a big honor, man. Like, it's a big station, like, you know, and, just felt great to be in, you know, the only reason why I want to be up that early, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's
sound check at 7 a.m. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, not a usual thing, eh?
No, but it's, oh man, it's just a fun adventure, man. And that's actually a perfect example of, like, you know, you got to go out there and just get it. I showed up because Moxie got added to 102.1 The Edge from Alan Cross one time.
Right.
I happened to be in Toronto when that happened. It was my first time. I left Welland to go network in Toronto because I just needed answers. You know, I just felt like I needed to meet the right people. And I did. It was like the best week of my life. And so during that week, I stayed with my brother. And Alan Cross just adds Moxie in when it dropped. And and then he made us like his number one pick. So I said, screw it. I'm just like, I'm in Toronto. The fire is as hot as it could possibly be right now. I'm just going to show up. So I just showed up to this giant Course Entertainment building that's like bigger than, it's like, you know, 20 of my houses that size. All glass building, like, and I just showed up, and I looked at their sign. You know, they do like Teletoon Global, like all that shit. And I talked to the front desk lady, and I said, I need to speak to someone from 102.1 The Edge. And she said, why? And I'm like, because my band just got added to it, so I need to talk to someone. Like, I need to thank someone. Like, and then I asked for Alan Cross, and she's like, oh, like, you know, Alan's not in the office. So she's like, well, the program director's here. And I'm like, oh, great. Like,
yeah.
Time. Program director comes down. While I'm waiting for her, turns out the secretary lived in Welland. So we bonded. So she was stoked. Like, small world. And so then the program director comes down. She's the nicest soul ever. Her name is Julissa. And she's like, yeah, you want like a tour of the building? So I'm like, yeah, I want a tour of the building. So she gave me a whole damn tour. The Chorus Entertainment office, and there's like a slide you can go down in there. There's like a big slide from the second floor to the first floor. She even let me go down that. Like, it was like a dope experience.
Well, I know where I want to work now. That's good.
Yeah. And so I asked her, and I'm like, speaking of global news, I've been seeing like they do bands on there. I'm like, can you help me out? And she's like, yeah, I know the guy that books for that. So she networked me with him, and that's how we did that.
And there it was.
Wouldn't have happened if I just said, hey, I'm just going to show up to Course Entertainment. Like,
yeah, but it's all about taking the initiative, right? Like, seeking the things out, that's where you're going to find the opportunities, like you were saying before. Like, it's not, things don't just come to you, right? Like, sometimes they do once you've put the work in, but you just have to do things, right?
Dude, I even showed up with like a PDF booklet, like 12 pages, like little cue card sized of like, Revive the Roses 2018 game plan. And I showed her, I'm like, this is what we want to do. Like, we need help. And she's like, oh, wow, this is dope. And then, like, she's like, yeah, I'm super impressed. And then, like, things just happened.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I think Alan Cross said it was really solid meat and potatoes rock. This is what an indie band can do. Like, that's a pretty high compliment from someone of that caliber, especially in Canadian music. Like, that's a lot, man.
Yeah, man, I know, dude. I didn't like, even when he discovered Moxie, the first thing he says, he's like, he writes a review on our Facebook page. He's like, that's it. I have to put them on the radio. And I woke up.
No way.
That's how I found out. I woke up to that.
That's not a bad way to wake up, I'd say. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And so, man, huge compliment. Me and Alan are pretty good friends now too. So, I've been meaning to do coffee with him, but yeah, definitely not happening anytime soon. So
no. Well, man, that's a good segue. Like, what has creating been like for you? I think that's one of the main reasons that I wanted to start this up and be having these conversations with people, is because like, things have changed a lot, you know, not being able to go out and play all these shows and trying to figure out how to create in a more restrained way. What's that been like for you? Like, what's RTR up to? What are you up to personally? I know you're doing a lot of solo stuff too. So like, tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not like focusing on solo stuff. I am writing, just writing, like, as a,
yeah,
I don't label what it is. I just like, I've learned to stop doing that, because, you know, if it's a good song, it's a good song, and it'll just go where it needs to go. You know, so yeah, I've been writing a lot, and so has me and the band. We've been writing a lot, me, Pete, and Matt especially. We've got about 45 demos now, I think, maybe 46.
Wow.
So yeah, we've been working hard since last year, right up until now. The train hasn't stopped. But during COVID, I've been actually very busy with my streaming show, Sunday Streams with Andy C. And that's kind of been my way to stay in tune with my friends and new friends that I meet in the music industry, just to see how they're doing, and you know, it just keeps the networks fresh. And I just love talking to new people and people that are homies of mine. Like, what a better way to do your Sunday?
And you've had some pretty fun people on there too. Like, I mean, the very last one that you did, I don't know if it was considered a Sunday stream or not, but you had your doppelganger from the United States.
Yeah,
that you found on Instagram or something. And that, tell me about that, because that's wild. That's just awesome.
Yeah, dude, Jack, he's a good dude, man. We made a special episode just to do that on Wednesday, I think it was. No, Thursday. No, man. Yeah, Jake found him. I don't know how. And then he's like, yo, this guy looks like you. And I thought that was it was hilarious. And I just said, that's funny. And so I just DM'd the dude and I said, hey, man, like, I think we're like twins, like doppelgangers. And then he started laughing his ass off. He's like, dude, we totally are. And, you know, and right away I see this guy's posting bass guitars and stuff. I'm like, no way. I'm like, no way you're a musician too. You bearded bastard. And like, yeah, it was just crazy, man. And we just always like kind of like commented on each other's stuff all the time. And like, we would just like hit each other up once in a while, like, you know, like what's shaking, like. And then finally I'm like, I've never talked to this dude. It'd be kind of nice to get to know him, you know what I mean? Like, and so I hit him up. I said, dude, why don't we just like have a podcast, the Doppelganger Special? And he's like, dude, let's do it. And then that's how we first kind of met was doing that podcast. It was dope.
Yeah. And even on that same podcast, you even had a buddy from the Red Wings. I saw a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was the Red Wings, correct? That
you
brought on. Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, he lived with Matt in my band for a very long time when he was an Ice Dog.
Oh, they were a billet. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So he would listen to all our band practices growing up, and like, you know, he would just be playing Chell in the basement and stuff. And before he knew it, he was playing for the Blackhawks, and Bardown got added to the Leafs game for the first time, and it was against the Blackhawks, and he actually scored, and then they played the song. Like, it was nuts. Like, it was
no just, way
like, our worlds just like met. It was like so weird. Yeah, it was awesome though. But yeah, like, he's close to us, Perlini, like in that sense. So, and yeah, he's just a great guy, man. Like, that's how that kind of fruition, though. He was a billet boy.
It's crazy how things just come together, eh? Like, the connections you make, and you never know where it's going to lead you.
I know, man. Yeah, it's insane. And, yeah, we just, like, we never really get to talk a lot, me and him. So we finally just, like, that's what I mean. This whole stream show has been so great, man. Like, it's, like, you just get to catch up with people and, like, just, like, appreciate, like, everything. You know what I mean? It's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we talked a little bit last week too, but I mean, you have, what else are people doing on Sundays? Like, granted, you know, spending time with family and everything, but like having, you know, one of your favorite bands go out and be like, hey, we're going to chat to people for an hour. Just come in, tune in. Who knows what the conversation is going to bring. And like, just having that form of connection with fans and people all over is awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. No, I'm really stoked, dude. It's coming. It's unfortunately like it's coming to an end though. Like, I only got two more episodes left, but it's just because like the times are changing now, you know what I mean? And I will probably come back with a new show to some degree, but not that way though. Like, that that form of it is done now, I think. So and I'd like to say I did pretty good considering that there's probably 16 total episodes.
Yeah,
but you know, 16 times three, you know. I've had about 48 guests come on the show.
That's wild.
So yeah, like, not bad.
Yeah. And but I mean, and the fun thing about it is like, there's no pressure.
No,
right? Like, you're just going on and just having a good time, and that's it.
And you know, it was kind of nice in the sense that a lot of bands had plans, you know, and they were putting out new stuff, and I was like, you know, RTR's got a good decent following brewing, you know what I mean? And like, a band like Alien Ant Farm, they're from California, you know what I mean? It's like, hey boys, like, let's get you some Canadian PR, like with good fans that give a shit, you know what I mean? Like, yo, let's talk about your new song you just put out, you know what I mean? Or like Wheatus, they're about to do the Teenage Dirtbag 20th anniversary tour. Everyone knows
that's crazy
song.
Yeah,
how about we just remind people that Wheatus is fucking doing some big shit this year? Like, they had plans, you know, they're gonna drop this 20th anniversary album, you know. It's good for these people, man. Like, I'm proud I can be stoked about it and like get it to new ears. Like, or even familiar ears that just like kind of like, oh, that band, I forgot, you know? And it's like,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, because I mean, bands like Weedus and Alien Ant Farm, like they're bands that I've grown up on too. And like hearing that, you know, you're connecting with these people, you're just like, wow, it really is a small world. I know it's been like a consistent that I've talked about a lot, but like you really just don't know who's gonna know who and what connections you're gonna make doing this sort of thing, right?
So. Yeah, no, seriously, man, I couldn't, I didn't even think they'd agree to like come on. And like I just took a shot in the dark, man. Like,
yeah,
all you can do in this life, man, is the worst case someone says no and you carry on with your day.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like on the note of those guys, let's talk about inspiration, man. Like Foo Fighters, I know, are a biggie for you. You're talking about the Trues before too. How much does that factor into like what you guys do as a band?
Like what do you mean by that? Like
in terms of like their musical style, like what, when you think back when you were growing up, like for me, I remember I heard Linkin Park's Minutes to Midnight 2007. And I was like, that's a sick album. That is some great songs. And so like when I'm thinking about music today, like even if it's like us just messing around and jamming, I'm like, that's what I want to sound like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How has that impacted you and how has that like shaped RTR?
Well, you know what, man, having like such strong influences like that really helps me think about like times where like I would need that song, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like a song like Best of You by Foo Fighters or something, or Walk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I remember, you know, where I was when those songs were first heard from my ears, you know? And I remember when I would play those songs, you know what I mean? And like, I try to kind of channel that into like, where do I want to be when I hear this RTR song, like, you know what I mean? Like, what does this song mean to me as an artist, you know? And like, I don't know if you saw, I recorded a song called Bedridden and I put like a live video up for it. And it's probably one of my favorite songs I've ever written, like ever in life. And I really just was able to connect the emotion to that song. And like, I'm really stoked that I do know a lot of people that do suffer from depression and shit like that, man. I wrote the song about people that are just glued to their rooms, like their beds. Right. They won't leave. You know what I mean? But, and I'm always the guy that's like, you know, willing to be there for someone, you know, if you need to talk to. And I'm glad I was able to kind of like emphasize that in a song, you know?
Yeah, man.
I think people needed to hear that. And it really shows when I like when I posted the song, people were like, damn, like that hit hard, man, you know? And I just remember I just thought about all the inspirations like when I would listen to those songs, and it helped me channel. That's how that helps me a lot, and the boys too, you know? Or even a riff sometimes, you just like a riff reminds you of a time in your life, you know what I mean? And it's like cool.
Yeah. Well I mean, like, I can't, like, Bad Blood, like I think that's a good example of that too. I know I keep touching back on it, but like when I hear that opening riff, I'm just kind of like a little bit sad, but I'm like, no, that's like it brings out a certain emotion. And like I think a lot of times when artists are writing these songs, like you guys as well, you have a sort of emotion that's going in there, and people really feel that. Like, it's not, you know, no aim, like no pointless, you're really feeling that.
Yeah, it's kind of like why I really like to write negative lyrics with positive riffage, because it's like so many negative situations are such jokes, like, you know, stuck and crazy. Like when you look back, you're like, how the hell did I just like deal with that? You know, and like, you just put this jokes like upbeat riff to it. And it's like, it just describes like, you know, just feeling like a loser coming out of that. Like, oh, man, like I had this crazy like person in my life. What a freaking idiot I am. How'd I let
you just feel like you played yourself, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so like, you know, stuck and crazy is all like, you know, summer vibes and chill. It's like it's just like a shit happens feel when you hear that, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're stoked that you're out of it.
Yeah. And that's just it, right? Like I think and from a lot of talking to you too, like you guys just kind of really take things as they are. And it's not like, you know, while you guys take yourself seriously business-wise, I think you like to have fun and you like to really just put in the passion. Oh, I think that's, man, and that's, but 90% of music has to be having fun and passion, or else it just feels empty. You know what I mean?
Dude, you can't be a prima donna, man. You just got to have fun. Like, you know, like there's no secret to music, man. You just got to really enjoy doing it. Like that's it. the best way to be a musician is just to have fun with it.
Yeah. Is that like, would you say that's what makes like Revive the Rose the band that it is, especially in 2020, like with all this going on, like we got COVID, we got so much negative happening in the world. Like how much does it mean to you to go out and just like have fun? Like you guys finally got to play a live show. Was it yesterday or the day before at the Absinthe?
Yesterday, man.
And how was that? Like what, how good did that feel to just be like, oh, positive things happening. Like this is so much fun.
Yeah, man. No, it was, it felt really damn good to play again, man. Although it wasn't the ideal stage, you know, like I wish we could bring the amps and shit. Like, you know, and I wish I could like high five fans or like throw a beer at their face. Like, you know, it was fun, man. And like, it was just great to see people again, you know, and just, yeah, it just kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel, man. Like it just felt really good. I'm glad we can bring that happiness to people that really lack that live music presence they really needed, you know? And yeah, at the end of the day, me, Pete, and Matt, and the boys, we're all best friends, man. So it's like, we just have fun just existing with each other, man. Like, you know, so it just translates when we play on stage, man. Like there's no forced energy up there. It's just fun.
Yeah. What would you, I think that's a good note for me to ask when like my final point here. And that's like, what do you say to artists and creators and even young people? Like, I mean, we're not that much difference in age, but at the same time, like, what do you have to say to those people who are just like, you know, sometimes like you're saying, bedridden, like it just, you're not really sure how you're going to go about things. Like we live in a kind of scary world sometimes. Right. And especially right now, like what advice do you give?
Man, I just honestly, man, you got to keep positive. You got to just like really appreciate the small things in life, what you have around you, man, and all the great people you have in your life and the people who've always been there and out of their way for you. Like you just got to really realize that they're there, you know, and that they do appreciate you and you should appreciate them. And I think it's just good to keep your community like that together in a hard time like this. Like, you know, whether it's a phone call a day, you know, just call your buddy. How you doing, man? Like I call my best friend Ronaldo pretty much every day, man. I just love the guy. You know, he's got always got some jokes to say, man. Just keep your brain fresh. Yeah, man. You know, nothing wrong with a good phone call. Although for some reason, people in 2020 and 2019 are like super not down for phone calls. And, you know, but anyway, I think that's complete bullshit if you're not down for a phone call, but you know, whatever. Better than looking at a screen, man. Best to put the phone down too, as much as you can. That's another advice I have.
Yeah, man. We feel like you got to disconnect a little bit.
We lived a life without it before, man. I don't get why people so need it so much. Who cares? See, but the problem is, man, people care about opinions too much, and that's part of the screw it. I don't know if I can swear, even though I have already.
Yeah, it's okay. We're a little past that. It's all good, man.
You know, it's part of the attitude behind RTR, though, man. We don't care. We just do things that we find fun, and we write what we want to write about. We don't overthink what we write about. We just have fun, and you just kind of, I don't know, man. You just kind of, I don't even know where I was going with that, but
no, yeah, it makes sense.
You cannot give too much of a shit. Like, you just got to love doing what you want to do. And the right people gravitate that way, too. Like, I have a sweet circle of people just because, you know, we're all vibing the same shit, you know? If you don't, then I probably don't talk to you. So just right. Don't talk to me. You know, it's like, don't listen to me if you don't agree with it. Like, I don't care. Like, my focus is for the people that, like, just are down to enjoy life and treat each other with respect and love and have fun doing what they love to do. So.
No, man, I love that. I think that's great. Be like, I kind of taking it full circle back to the beginning, being authentic, being who you are. And I think that's some good tips for life, man. It doesn't matter who you are, but a prophet in our time.
No, I'm not a doctor, but like, you know, try it out.
You never know. But no, Andy, man, I really appreciate it. Obviously it's good to talk to you and to hear from you.
Likewise, dude.
You've been a great advisor for us, for our band, and it's always good to chat with you. You're very
hard. I love you, boys, man. That's always, man. It's a pleasure always.
Where can everybody check you out?
yo, they have time to type out at Revive the Rose, you can pretty much find us anywhere. Or Revive the Rose, because like you can't do that on Spotify. You can't throw the at symbol in there. So
yeah, it's weird that you can't do that. Yeah.
No, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah, what's coming up for RTR, man?
Anything
or whatever you can talk about. Let me rephrase it to that.
We have a new music video coming out for our cover song. Always something there to remind me that you can look forward to that at some point. We'll drop a funny little trailer at some point too. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled. We'll put some dank video content out there. Ferda.
I love it, man. I love it. All right. Well, thanks so much for doing this again. Hopefully we can chat sometime soon.
Yeah, man. Sounds like a plan, dude. Hopefully I get to see you soon, man.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks again, man.
Peace, brother.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Tuned In. Check us out on social media at Radio Laurier, where you can find all the latest updates from our continually growing selection of content. Know someone who would be interested in coming on one of our shows? Find all of our contact information on our website, radiolaurier.com. I'm Keegan Gingrich. See you next time.